Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Whoa, Kira, it was quite an eventful weekend.
It really was, Chris, wasn't it?
On Saturday, you and I were discussing, among other things, Liam Payne's album review from The Guardian.
Ooh, it was nasty.
Kira, it was one of... It was he got bodied, as they might say.
He really did, in fairness, didn't he?
We were also chatting, I believe, dating trends. Kira, you were trying to educate me.
Yes, because a new dating trend pops up around Christmas and it's called Marley'd. As in the ghost of Jacob Marley.
So when you Marley someone...
It's an ex getting back in contact with you because it's the festive period.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. We were also chatting about new etiquette, according to research, things that millennials no longer see as rude, and a new list of things that they do see as rude, if you understand me. And I just have to say, it makes me... And Kira and I are both millennials. It makes me dislike millennials even more when I read this kind of stuff. It's terrible. On Sunday, Kira, you and I discussed...
Kanye West, he's released his second opera. We didn't even realise he'd released his first one, so that was kind of a surprising news to us.
And it was opening on Sunday, the day we were chatting about mm-hmm. it, Kira. It was opening, we were very excited. Neither Kira or I made it in the end, so we're very sorry to share with you. We didn't get a chance to get over to Miami and see it. However, listen, we made the most of it. We'll get it on DVD or something. As well as that, we were also chatting about the Japanese man who made 24,000 complaints to a telecoms company.
Yeah, but he ended up getting arrested. So it sounds funny, but it's not really.
No, they just had enough of him. And of course, we were also chatting existentialism, Kira.
Yes, it has just been added as word of the year in dictionary.com.
That's a very Kira word, in fairness. Like, that's a word you would use. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think of like you when I hear words like
that. I was using
that
word before everyone else was using that
word. You really were. You were way ahead of that trend.
Oh, great. I was having an existential crisis before everybody else in the world. Oh, that's fantastic,
You've
Chris.
Been miserable and dour for years, Kira. Do you know what I mean? Like, us millennials, it's only cool and trendy to be existential now. You were doing it years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Listen, that and more. Here we go. Enjoy.
Chris.
Yes.
If I said to you, I think you're going to be Marley'd this Christmas, what would you say?
I'd be like, yeah, me and the lads, man. I think I'm going to be Marley'd this Christmas.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to presume, because I've never heard the expression before, and because you're saying you're going to be Marley'd this Christmas, that you would mean, Kira, inebriated or intoxicated
nope.
or under the influence of alcohol. No, you wouldn't mean that.
Have you ever seen A Christmas Carol?
I have, yes.
Jacob Marley.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
okay,
Jacob Marley,
so
yes.
Visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas future.
And Christmas present.
So it's a dating trend.
I think, yeah. What?
It's a dating trend.
Okay.
Okay, so 1 in 10 people will be contacted by an ex this Christmas because they use a festive period as a guise for sliding back into the DMs.
Oh,
so
is that right?
You're Marley'd. So you're kind of like Jacob
Marley.
That's very clever
because mm-hmm. Christmas past is coming back to you and is trying to slip in under the whole...
Because it's Christmas. Because, you know, they can't text you from January to November, but in December, because it's Christmas, they'll suddenly pop their heads back up, you
they
know?
They kind of need an in and you're saying Christmas is a perfect in.
Christmas is kind of romancy and, you know, there's lots of couples walking around and people are out in pubs and it's festive and jolly and it's supposed to be all those things.
There's also,
you know,
like goodwill. Do you know what I mean? Like, is it, there's extra goodwill. Like, as in people you mightn't usually have the most time for, you'll be like, oh, I'll talk to Adam who works on the show. He's okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'll be like, he seems
it's
fine.
Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
So I want to go through the top dating trends of 2019 with you. And I want you to tell me whether you know what they are or not.
There's so much slang now for dating trends.
There is so much slang.
God almighty. Okay, go for it.
We kick it off.
So these are new kind of, we'll say, 2019 words that have some basis in dating.
Yes.
And I need it. Okay, perfect. Go
for it. Okay, bird boxing. Not what you think.
Now, let me think. Bird Box was that film that Sandra Bullock was in on Netflix.
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about it. Now, I didn't see the film, but you had to be blindfolded. You mm-hmm. couldn't open your eyes. So bird boxing is when someone just completely blanks you?
No. You're blind. So, you know, you've got a blindfold on.
So you have a blind spot to something that's a big, we'll say, red flag about a person.
Exactly.
Is it?
It's when someone is blind to how rubbish the person they're dating is.
Oh, right. Okay,
yeah,
fair
that
enough.
Is it. So that's what bird boxing is.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's clever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Orbiting.
Okay, well, let me think about it. So with orbiting, we'll say a planet orbits around, like, we'll say, a central thing, and they never hit off each other. So they're like, you kind of, it's a will they, won't they. You're at a distance. There's maybe an interest, but you're not quite able to seal the deal.
So in terms of social media, this one's a little bit dangerous. To give you an example, an orbiter might ignore your phone calls.
Okay.
But they'll watch your Instagram stories.
Oh, I hear you.
They will block you on WhatsApp, but they will retweet your tweets.
I hear you.
Do you know that that's what an orbiter is?
So close personal contact, they're kind of avoiding.
They kind of play mind games.
Sure, but peripheral contact, they're all about. I hear you.
Yeah. So an orbiter is dangerous.
I rang them yesterday, but then you'll see that they liked your, or sorry, that they watched your Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, so they had time to do that, but not time to ring old Kieran. I hear you, Kieran. Okay. I get you, yes.
Curving.
Well, curving, that's when you avoid someone, right? Am I wrong? Curving, so as in, if I were to curve you, Kira, maybe you're giving me some advances. I'm not really feeling them, so I try and will say deflect them and not pick up on them. Would I
it's
be right?
It's described as rejection with a smile. So curving is a way of letting someone down
there
without telling them that you're no longer interested.
I hear
but it's not ghosting. It's a nicer version of ghosting.
It's a very gentle
Does that make sense?
Oh, completely.
It's like a, yeah, no, sure, me and you will go for a date on Wednesday. What time? And then you never text back.
I hear you. I hear
you. Know,
you. Yes.
So it's as yeah, yeah. as I've described there, rejection with the smile.
Oh, that's not so bad, yeah.
But it is bad though, because you're kind of left, you know, you don't know what to believe though. You
well,
know?
It's all bad. Don't
yeah,
get me
it's all
wrong.
Bad.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Okay, breadcrumbing.
Breadcrumbing. Okay. I have to imagine that this is obviously you drop a trail of breadcrumbs so that someone can find you. As in, that's like, I guess, the kind of the nursery rhyme version of it that we would have when you drop breadcrumbs so that, you know, you have yep. a path or that someone can follow that path. I will say it's, for example, Kira, I would breadcrumb you by, will say, liking a post of yours on social media to draw attention to me, but not to say anything to you or anything.
Exactly.
Oh, look at
exactly.
this.
Okay. So it's okay. kind of, it's like sending a, hey, how's it going text.
How
but with
you,
no intention face. Of continuing the conversation.
Oh, right. But yeah. just to get them kind of interested
just a little,
in you and drop
just a little
breadcrumb.
Yeah, yeah. It's suggesting a date yes. without making a plan. It's telling someone that they look super hot in their latest Instagram post, but then screening
just
their phone calls.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, so that's breadcrumbing. It's like a little bit. Again, mind games, very, very dangerous.
Oh,
get out.
Very much so.
Kitten fishing. Now, this sounds cute. And also weird.
Kitten
fishing.
There's
nothing cute about this.
So Kira and I are doing 2019 dating terms that you mightn't have heard of. I've heard of catfishing, of course,
okay.
which is where you pretend
so
to be someone else.
It's a diet version of catfishing.
I was going to say, is kitten fishing kind of like, you're not outright lying about who you are, but you're greatly, we'll say, highlighting certain elements and downplaying other elements. Mm. Yes,
so this was coined by the dating app Hinge. And as I said, it's like a diet version of catfishing. It's when someone pretends to be a completely different person online. But unlike the catfish, the kitten fish's tactics are as simple as using a profile picture from 6 years
there
ago.
There you go. It's still them,
yeah.
but it's just very false and
it's
misleading.
It's them 6 years
yes,
ago, probably
yes.
looking way better and younger and fitter and hotter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you
yeah,
know.
Of course, yeah.
And then when you go to meet the real version, you're like, wait a second.
But it's still them, so
yes.
it's not quite catfishing. Like,
but
I'm
I mean,
not
in most cases, in fairness, it's fairly harmless because we all want to promote the best sides of ourselves. But I think that if you choose a photo from 6 years ago, it's not really realistic.
Oh, listen, whenever 2FM has anything about me and you and they're using those press shots of like me and you, like I look great in them. I'm like, that's nothing like what I look like. Thanks, 2FM. Do you know what I mean? That's really nice of you guys.
Or bombing.
Okay, give me or.
Or bombing.
Spell it.
Or hyphen bombing.
Or bombing. So mm-hmm. the letter or bombing. So
yeah.
if I'm or bombing someone, what am I doing?
Okay, so not to be or bombing. This one's new, Chris. It's fine. Dating trends of 2019. It's not to be confused with ghosting.
Uh-huh.
Or bombing is when someone reads your message but doesn't reply.
Oh.
You do that to me all the time.
Sorry. No, I don't.
You or bomb me, Chris.
What are you talking about?
Monday to Friday, you or bomb me.
I am afraid.
You are dropping or bombs.
I won't lie. I do fear that greatly. I'm okay on WhatsApp. Right, give me one more, Kira, because
okay.
I'm feeling bewildered here by these terms.
Okay.
Like an old man.
Instagram standing.
Yeah,
I had to practice that word.
Is that like when you act real woke on Instagram or something? You have a grandstand, you're on there grandstanding on Instagram.
Nah,
you're like,
nah. This one is, and everybody's done this, by the way, and I
okay.
don't care who you are or
sure.
what you say, because everybody has done this at some stage. So it's about tailoring your Instagram feed with another person in mind. So
oh,
let's say
right.
you break up with somebody.
Oh, okay.
You were putting that damn hot photo
oh, okay,
of yourself up on Instagram when
sure.
you're out with the gals.
Sure, sure, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Instagram standing.
Yeah, so.
That's very clever.
Yeah, also, if you post a photo of you in your favorite bar.
Sure.
Or
sure,
you
sure.
somewhere exotic. It's like, hey, look at me, I'm living my life.
Absolutely.
I can afford
really
Ryanair
happy.
Flights to get out of the country, you know? So,
yeah, yeah,
it's an interesting one.
Okay,
A recent survey by the dating site Plenty of Fish said more than half of singletons are Instagram standing.
Is that right?
Yeah, in fact, more than two-thirds, which is 69% of 22 to 25-year-olds, have done it recently.
Oh.
And you know what? You probably have yourself, but you didn't realise that it actually had a term.
I know what you're saying.
Instagram standing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram standing. So when I'm posting that, I'm like, you know, she's going to see this. No, she's going to.
Yeah.
Like that kind of, yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Very good. She's going to see me sitting on my computer and be so jealous. Look at me. Yeah, yeah. I think we have to discuss this with you. So obviously a lot of the One Direction boys are going solo now. We had Harry Styles earlier on in the show. Niall Horan's new track, Put a Little Love on Me, coming up before 1 o'clock today.
Harry Styles and Niall Horan both released their songs yesterday.
Which is interesting. Yeah, yeah.
It is.
Trying to get that Christmas market, of course.
Which team are you on? Team Harry or Team Niall? Obviously we're on Team Niall.
Oh, Kira, yeah, without question.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but if I wasn't, it would be Harry Styles. Anyway,
I hear you. Yeah, if you weren't obligated to be on Team Niall, you'd be. I hear you. Right. Liam Payne has also had an offering, though.
He dropped his new album LP1 during the week, and
LP and his name is LP. Yeah, that's clever.
And it was reviewed by The Guardian. I think it was yesterday. This kind of went viral on social media. So a woman called Laura Snape. She wrote, in my opinion, one of the funniest reviews that I've read in a really long time. It starts with One Direction's Mr. Boring lets his inner sexual piranha loose with frightening results. That's how it starts. Also, which is interesting, and myself and Chris were chatting about that earlier on, the writer of the article, she also can't seem to understand why Liam Payne is the most commercial of the One Direction boys.
This is mad. When Kira showed me this article, and it says he is the most commercially successful one of them with 3.7 billion streams. He's the most popular One Direction member. I thought it would have been Harry or Zayn or what. No, yeah, apparently it's this guy.
It's interesting. Anyway, so she reviews some of the songs. One of the songs, On Hips Don't Lie, he stares at a woman's groin as she dances and warns that she better not be wasting his time. I hope your hips don't lie unless they're lying with me, he sings. A conclusion so deadly, it feels like a funeral for reproduction.
Do you not get it though? Lying with me.
No, I get
lying.
It. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But I just love it. A conclusion so deathly, it feels like a funeral for reproduction.
It doesn't feel sexy.
That's not sexy. A funeral for reproduction, you know.
His other one is Rude Hours, is another one of his tracks. And it says he's going to invite the lady to the parking lot and do your ass in the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lyrical genius.
Do her ass in the car. I get you.
There's some, it's generic trap and Latin tinged production, and it has got many guest rappers. And basically she says in the piece that Payne is maybe trying to keep pace with Drake in The Weeknd, but he can't because his rank randiness lacks a sense of guilty pleasure that makes his Canadian contemporaries irresistible. Oh, like, it's amazing.
Oh, wowee.
And this is how it finishes off, okay? So the Simmering Both Ways, it's a song about a woman who loves threesomes, finds him and her sharing that body like it's our last meal, like cheetahs at a carcass. On the track Familiar, he admires a lady who's shaped like a model or some kind of bottle.
Oh, wow.
She's wondering, is it a ketchup bottle? What sort of bottle is it? And she said, perhaps this leg-crossing horror show is another sign of Payne's prudence. LP1 is a terrible pop album, but very effective contraception.
Oh yeah, he probably. I mean, what a cool lyric. Wait. Yeah, might be a bad idea. I'd probably do your ass in the car. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's very cool and urban.
Do you know what though?
Yes.
Liam Payne can sing.
Yeah, no, he can sing. But like, I mean, when he's using that singing ability to say, "I'm going to do your ass
in the
car."
Yeah, I know, Chris. Like, I know. Yeah.
Seems like a wasted opportunity, doesn't it? But hey, Kira, there you go. What did she give it in the end? One star, I believe.
One star.
Oh.
One star. And that isn't the only bad review, I regret to say.
No. Well, listen. He's laughing. He's the most commercially successful member of One Direction.
Exactly.
While singing about doing your ass in the car. That's all he needs. Meet me in the parking lot. Yeah. I see what she means about going for that kind of Drake trap kind of. Yeah. All right. Jesus. We're looking at this list, right? And apparently, it's millennial etiquette. And it's a list of things that the top 10 things that are outdated and then the top 10 things that are new, we'll say, bad bits of behavior that have evolved with, you know, these modern
times. The changes in acceptable behavior, they've been charted. It was a survey carried out for, I think it was Privilege Insurance in the UK.
Sure.
And it said that more than 80% of millennials no longer accept the rules that their parents lived by.
But like, I'm sorry now, but some of these are really weird, if you don't mind. So one of the things that's considered outdated by this survey standards is giving up a seat for somebody who is elderly or pregnant.
Oh my God. I mean,
just
that's
give them the seat.
That's just rude.
Yeah. But like, especially someone who's pregnant. Jesus Christ, let the woman sit down. You know what
I mean? I'm sorry, what about the elderly woman?
Sure.
Or the elderly man.
Yeah.
They've had to be in life longer than us. They definitely deserve to sit down.
Sure. Another one is, these are one of the things that are no longer considered bad manners. As in, millennials, according to this survey, don't consider these huge problems. Putting your hand over your mouth when you yawn.
Again, just politeness.
Like, so I can imagine.
I don't want to be looking at your tonsils.
No,
thank you very much.
Neither do I. So like I can imagine this. You're sitting on a like a public transport and the millennial is sitting there looking at a pregnant woman and going, millennials really are awful. Jesus, really, and I'm a millennial.
Here's another one. Saying bless you when someone sneezes.
Oh, like because it's like has a religious connotation or something?
Well, I don't know. But
I still say bless you. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
it's just a thing.
I'm not the most pious gentleman, but geez, I still say bless you if somebody sneezes. It's just,
anyway.
it's just a reflex. It's part of our language.
So let's see then. So what millennials do see, Chris, as rude?
So like the new things that they find rude. Littering, which is fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, bang
on. Good.
Yeah,
everyone should find that.
Sure.
Playing music too loudly.
Fair. I mean, we're all supposed to have headphones now. We're all supposed to have personal ways of listening to our music without impacting on others. Fine. Fair
Talking
enough.
Talking too loudly on a bus or train.
100%.
Again, all of these have come with the development of the smartphone.
But you know what's mad? Talking too loudly on a bus or train is there, but not giving up a seat for somebody who's pregnant. Like, millennials have weird priorities.
Yeah. Using a mobile at the table.
Fair enough.
I agree with that one.
Yeah.
Reading other people's phone messages. That's also fair enough. Manspreading on public transport.
I love manspreading. Oh, I'm at it the whole time here. I'm at it the whole time while yawning and not giving pregnant women my seat. It's the best fun.
Looking at your phone while talking to someone.
Sure.
I agree with that one.
Sure.
Making a tea for yourself, but not for others.
Yeah, that is rude, yeah. Like, what? I mean, make it for everybody. Mm. Like, as in, put on the kettle for everyone.
Yeah.
Sure.
Spoiling a TV show plot.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, but obviously now, of course, because we live in the time of streaming TV shows. You know, everyone's watching everything all of the time.
Sure.
So the chances of spoiling something is pretty high.
Yeah.
And talking about politics too much.
Oh, 100%.
Well, I'd imagine everyone in the UK and America are probably sick about talking about politics.
Kira, you're right though. This list, most of the new forms of bad behaviour or bad manners all come from the smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least 6 or 7 of them.
Yep.
God almighty.
Yeah.
Well, listen, there you go. That is from new research that says that is what millennials now will say prioritise as good behaviour and bad behaviour. Still amazed about that whole pregnant thing.
Ladies first is out as well.
Well, listen, in the age of equality now, I'd agree with that. Absolutely.
And they don't really care about elbows on or off the table.
I never really got that. I mean, the elbows aren't particularly dirty or like
unhygienic.
I've never
understood that
either. No, like who cares?
Is that like maybe that's just an old tradition that we don't know?
Yeah, because like I never got the elbows thing either. They're not dirty. They're not like they're not unpleasant. Anyway, listen, Kira, what would you and I know? We're horrifically rude millennials by the looks of this new list. But listen, also. Putting a knife and fork together on a plate when you finish your meal is now considered outdated behaviour by millennials.
Where do you just chuck them off the table?
Just throw it on the ground. You just, while yawning without covering your mouth or giving up a seat for pregnant women, you go,
Just throw it at the pregnant woman.
Yeah, exactly. She can sit on the plate, on the ground, if she wants somewhere to sit. To use an internet meme, Kira, we are shaking our damn heads. I was looking at this and shaking my damn head. I was SMDH.
I love when you use an internet meme, Chris.
Listen, Kira, I was SMDH while looking at this.
Now, Chris, I don't know what my theories on this are because, like you said, sometimes I would think that companies would do this on purpose.
Yes.
Okay, because here we are now talking about it. But to take something and to make it so distasteful, there's a line, if you know what I'm trying to say.
When I see this kind of idiotic marketing rubbish, I have to think, no. They knew this was going to be bad. You have to think that, don't you? Because when we see these things, Kira, we're all adults here. We look at these things and we say, no.
Are we the ones in the wrong, Chris?
On this case, no.
Definitely. No, obviously not in this
not
case.
Not on this case.
But are we the ones in the wrong? Maybe, I don't know.
Amazon has withdrawn a range of Christmas ornaments displaying images of a former concentration camp that sellers had posted on its website.
It was Auschwitz, right? It included Christmas tree decorations, a bottle opener and a mouse pad, okay? And it's not...
A mouse pad? For some reason, that seems like the worst. You're in your office. What this? No, it's Auschwitz, yeah.
Yeah.
I just got it from my mouse.
But like, no, imagine going home after a long day at work and then opening a bottle of beer with a bottle opener with the Auschwitz on the... You know what I'm trying to say? There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's not as if it's a beautiful mountain range or there's gorgeous forests or lakes. It is known for a particular reason. And on these actual products was like... It was actual images of the concentration camp.
See, that was initially people's argument. People said, no, but maybe is it just this the area of Auschwitz?
Yeah.
No, it's the actual Auschwitz concentration camp entrance with like the barbed wire and the big arch over it and everything. And like, it's very clearly Auschwitz.
Yes.
my
Obviously,
God
people
almighty.
People found these products online.
Yes.
And there's, you know, they were disgusted, which is fair enough. Do you know what I mean? And Amazon has ended up withdrawing that range of Christmas ornaments.
Yes, it seems that they have. It says the memorial and museum, because the Auschwitz memorial was tweeting about it, understandably, and trying to bring attention to it and saying, how, like, can we get this down? The Christmas merchandise featured images from Auschwitz, including the railway line leading into the infamous gates, the barbed wire fences, and the buildings where it housed victims, mainly Jewish people. The memorial and museum later posted an update to say that the items had been removed and thanked social media users for their activity and response. Because I believe what happened is the Auschwitz memorial Twitter to bring, because you know the way sometimes if a product is available, you can click on it and you can say report this. Mm-hmm. But unless it got a whole load of reports, you might be a month waiting to get it taken down. But apparently the Auschwitz Memorial Twitter drew attention to the issue and said, lads, I don't think we can have this on here. And then it, in due course, it was taken down and everything. However, as you say, Kira, you do have to wonder, the people who are making this stuff.
Well, I don't blame Amazon here, because I'd imagine...
No, they're just sellers. They're, like, they're just resellers.
You know, yeah, because exactly, Amazon said, all sellers must follow our selling guidelines, and those who do not will be subject to action, including potential removal of their account.
See, you make a good point there. I think people sometimes, because everyone uses Amazon now, I think people don't understand this about Amazon. Amazon are reselling you stuff. Yeah. Like, Amazon are kind of just the middleman, we'll say. Yeah. Like, they're not the guys that are making all these products and housing them in one enormous warehouse. They're, like, getting them and they're sourcing them. But you see, I have to wonder, the dudes making this product, unless they just got a load of stock photos from around the world or something, they have to have known that was a concentrate. Or maybe they don't have to have.
Maybe they didn't.
Maybe they're just imbeciles. You know, mm-hmm. We see bad decisions being made every day. Maybe this was just one of them. Maybe this was just like that printer in the doll thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe it was a genuine mistake, but it's all been taken down. If you did want any Auschwitz-themed Christmas decorations, they won't be available anymore. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news for you. If that's what you were looking for this Christmas, it's off the table now. Yes.
That's my favourite part of the song. Mm-hmm.
I love Kanye's ad-libs. You know what I mean? Like, is it over the end of the track, over the beat, and he's just kind of telling a story or riffing?
If anyone looks up the track Closed on Sunday, which is a really good track, actually, at the very end, his daughter North screams out the words Chick-fil-A into the Wyoming landscape.
That seems to be the new theme of the songs now.
Yeah.
You just roar at the end. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Kanye, he's announced his second opera. Now, first of all, Chris, I didn't realise he'd written one opera.
No, his second opera.
His second opera.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's going to debut in Miami Beach.
Yes.
It's going to take place at Miami Marine Stadium. And it's called Mary.
Is that right? After our Virgin Mary?
Yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye has a really heavy religious theme in a lot of his tracks now.
Yeah. And it's about the story of Mary and Jesus and the angels.
Oh.
And it was a collaboration with an Italian performance artist. So there you go. So obviously music from his Sunday service choir are going to feature as well.
I believe the opening night is tonight, Kira.
Tonight?
I could be
did
wrong.
Did we get tickets?
Let's check upstairs if we got any promo tickets. I'm not sure
I'll
if we did.
I'll check now during the news, Chris.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. However, I believe the debut is tonight. I'm not sure at what time, because obviously the US, they're a little behind us. However, it's debuting in Miami this evening, which is very exciting. I'm not quite how sure how long it's going to run for or how popular it'll be or what kind of crowd it'll draw. However, Kanye on his very heavy religious theme, continuing with his second opera called Mary.
It's this newborn devotion to Christianity, I guess, that is spurning all these kind of projects, Chris.
Yeah, no, Kanye has gotten heavily into Christianity. And hey, listen, no judgment from Kira or I, whatever religion you're into, by whatever makes you happy. But Kanye seems to have really doubled down on it in the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very into it now.
I can't even pronounce what
Nebuchadnezzar, of course. Nebuchadnezzar was his other one. Sorry, I do remember
Sorry,
this.
Sorry, you're saying that to me as if I should know what that is.
There was he had another opera where he... I do remember this. We didn't cover... Did we not cover this? No.
No.
I could have sworn we did. Remember we said we were going to try get tickets for it? No, maybe we didn't. Maybe that was the Michael Jackson
maybe
opera.
Maybe that was some other girl you were talking to.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was some other girl I was doing a radio show with doing a segment about Kanye West. That could have been it. I'm sorry, Kira. Yes. Oh, I've inadvertently released it now. I'm also I work in two countries. I fly to England. I put on an English accent. I do the same act, but, you know, it's just slightly redone. We use a lot of the same stuff. It's fine. No one's noticed yet. Anyway, that is odd. The other opera, Kira, was a roaring success from what I can see in these videos, and his new one debuts this evening in Miami. We're going to have a look at Kanye West's second opera called Mary. How about this, Kira?
tones. What was Nebuchadnezzar even about?
Oh, who the... Kira.
Okay. I don't imagine it was a religious thing.
Yeah, I don't know what any of them are about.
Okay, good.
But like...
What did she think of them?
She loved them. Loved them. No one knows what they're about, Kira. They're just... They're provocative, to use a line from Zoolander. They're exciting.
Well, Chris, I'm going to have an existential crisis now after listening to that.
Very rude. Existential crisis.
Well, it's funny.
Speaking of, Chris,
existential has been named the word of the year from dictionary.com.
You know, it's so funny because when you said that to me, I was like, oh, yeah, fair enough, existential. But when you said it to Adam, who works on the show, broadcast coordinator Adam, he was like, oh, that means like crisis.
And that's where my mind goes too.
Yeah, you guys are so empathetic. I was just like, oh, I don't know, existential, whatever. Like, but you guys got the significance that is in everyone's having an existential crisis. And we're all miserable.
Existential crisis are moments when individuals question whether their lives have meaning, purpose, or value.
Oh, man. I don't want an existential crisis.
So it's the word of 2019, and that was announced during the week from dictionary.com.
God, that's terrible, isn't it?
The website has chosen the word existential, as in existential crisis or existential dread.
Sure.
Two things that maybe the vast majority of us are kind of familiar with because of the current climate in the world.
Crisis and dread are the two things that run through our lives. I hear you.
According to the site, a lot of people were concerned with the nature of human existence this year. Which, again, I completely get. The words we saw people looking up in 2019 signal a broader concern about safety, security and survival.
Oh, this is miserable.
In ways both immediate and far-reaching. That's what a spokesperson for dictionary.com said. Sustained interest in existential is our look-up data as well as in the news and culture. It reflects the collective grappling.
So oh, my God. So basically, we're all miserable. We're all wondering what's going on in the world. We're all wondering if there's any point to anything. And we're looking up the word existential more than ever before.
Yes. Also, whoa. Toy Story 4 had something to do with it as well. Because it was
Toy Story 4?
Yes. Forky, Chris,
yes.
Was a utensil who thought that he was only destined for the trash in Toy Story 4. So obviously he questioned.
So Forky was having an existential crisis and dilemma. I see. Mm-hmm. If even Forky is having one in Toy Story 4, Jesus, is there any hope for us?
Forky is saddled by the burden of existence, Chris. I mean,
oh my
what
God.
Hope do the rest of us have?
I want those toys to be happy. Mm. When I go see that stuff, I want the toys to be running around and like having goofs and shenanigans, not questioning their meaning.
Dictionary.com, they tried to be optimistic about picking that word though as well. You know what I mean? They said that the philosophical underpinnings of the word existential invite us to pause, shake off any pessimism or passivity and say, what choices do we have to make in face of our challenges?
No, they don't. Chris? Shut up. They're miserable. We're all absolutely miserable. Jesus, that's actually really damning, isn't it? That the most looked up word was existential.
Mm-hmm. Now, in fairness, I think it was Joe Biden also commented and said that Donald Trump was a danger to our existential existence on Earth. So a lot of people were then looking
would
up
then
the word.
Say, what does existential mean? Then there's a trend upward. Yeah, so the reasons we have to thank for that are Joe Biden, fair enough, and Forky from Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4.
Those are the guys shaping our news at the moment. The big influences. All right. Well, maybe we should try to take the positive from it, as you say, Kira, as dictionary.com is trying to do. We're being more thoughtful, more introspective, more philosophical, sure. We're all also just maybe miserable and lost, but sure, whichever. Kira, what is going on with this 71-year-old Japanese man?
Well, Chris, picture this.
I say that as though he's your boyfriend or something. Tell me about this 71-year-old Japanese man you're seeing now, Kira. What's he like?
Oh, Chris, well, I'm going to Tokyo for Christmas. No,
very nice. You guys are spending Christmas in Tokyo.
I wouldn't spend my time with this guy, and I'll tell you why, Chris.
Why is that?
A 71-year-old man, he's been arrested because he allegedly made...
You always go for the bad boys.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? You just can't help it.
I like the bad boy.
Yeah.
He allegedly made 24,000 calls to a telecommunications company in Japan. And staff got so sick of it that they had to call in the police because it actually had begun to affect business.
Well, that's some man. He'd called the telecoms company 24,000 times.
He also repeatedly hung up the calls as soon as someone picked up.
Oh.
And this is what a spokesperson for the company said.
Jesus, I tell you, that's dedication, though, to call somewhere 24,000 times.
He said he called to complain that the company had violated his contract. And anyway,
to call 24,000 times
to
bring it to that issue, did he?
And he was taken into police custody at the end of November on suspicion of fraudulent obstruction of business.
Oh, God almighty.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just trying to look here. Hold on, because apparently he started this in May 2017. So if we say he was doing it for what, 2 years, two and a bit years, because he was arrested just in November, they're gone. So we'll say 1,000 days, right? So how many calls was he making a day he was making like, he was, oh my God, he was making like 24, 25 calls to them per day. That's like one an hour.
Maybe he just factored it into his day.
So it's in, he just built his routine around it.
Yeah.
Right, get up, breakfast, call to the telecoms company to complain, maybe walk the dog, another call to the telecoms company to complain. I know what you're saying, yeah, and mm-hmm. he just built it into like little routines.
He just built it into his daily schedule.
The way people say, like, try do 10 push-ups a day or whatever. Yeah. He was trying, good for him.
Yeah, but it's so funny as well because, Chris, you were like, oh God, that Irish guy has an awful lot of catching up to do.
Oh, right. I remember Kira and I were discussing the man who made 3,100 complaints to Dublin Airport.
Mm-hmm.
He's miles behind. He's miles behind.
And he kind of has a legit reason to complain because he was complaining about the noise.
Sure.
You know?
But like, if we're going to have a serial complainer, I want to be up there internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And we're way behind on an international scale, Kira. We're not competing. You know, the Japanese, they're very efficient. They're very driven. This guy's doing 24,000 complaint calls. But the guy who complained to Dublin Airport for the first half of 2019 only managed a measly 3,000.
In fairness,
Buddy,
though,
yes.
That's not bad going. 3,147 complaints in just the first half of 2019.
The other guy had longer.
Exactly.
If you scale that up, then that's 3,000, 6,000. Oh, geez, we're at about 15.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not so bad.
It's not too bad. So there you
okay,
go.
Okay, there you go. So serial complainers of the world, we're a little behind, but the gentleman, of course, he was averaging 17 complaints per day, the gentleman in Dublin, which isn't bad. But listen, this dude in China has been arrested for his 24,000 free calls to his telecoms provider to complain that the company had violated his contract. Yes. Oh, wonderful. You know, Kira, everyone is enjoying the podcast. And according to the reviews, everyone is also enjoying our additional Not Safe for Work podcasts, our supplementary midweek podcasts that you get, where Kira and I discuss some of the more, we'll say, offbeat and out there topics.
In our podcast this week, we're going to be talking about my solo hotel stay.
I can't wait.
And one of the favourite things myself and Chris do is read out the Bad Sex Awards.
Yes. They're coming too. So if you, genuinely as well, if you were listening on the podcast we put up the 5th, Thursday the 5th of December, Kira said she was going to do an overnight hotel stay. Apparently, it's happening. I want to hear the update. I'm excited. We'll look into it. It's all going on. Kira, watch this space. We will chat to you soon. For myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye. Chris and Kira. Weekend.